eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
My food appreciation teacher, she told me face-to-face I'd never make it in the NFL. Again, that's why I tell people, don't listen to naysayers and negative folks who want to bring you down, because at some point you're going to have that I told you so right back to them.
So I got
to
ask you, now, are you rolling tape on me like I'm rolling tape on you? Are you taping this?
I'm not taping this. I'm not worried about you, Jim.
What's cracking? Welcome to the Jim Rome Podcast. Thank you very much for finding it. I'm so pumped to be here and to bring this to you now every single Tuesday. I've been doing this for a long, long time now. In fact, a little back of the napkin math should put this into proper context. 30 years of radio, 5 days a week, all the different formats I've hosted, from Santa Barbara to San Diego to taking this thing nationwide, building the jungle brick by brick into what it is right now. That's over 20,000 hours of live radio. And right now, you're listening to hour one of original podcasting. And this is what has me so pumped. Because not everything I want to do behind this microphone fits neatly into the jungle. And that's what the Jim Rome Podcast is all about. Turning the clock off. Letting an interview be more of a conversation. Stretching out the 9 or 10 minutes I'll get with a guest. And then taking it in a direction that you may not expect from me. Hell, a direction that even I might not expect from myself. Now, the jungle's not going anywhere. I'm still as dedicated as ever to making sure that those 3 hours are the best 3 hours of sports talk radio that you're going to find anywhere. The Daily Jungle has also served a great purpose, getting it back into the ears of clones who may not have me in their market or don't have 3 hours a day to tune in. But the Jim Rome Podcast, this is going to be different. It's unique. It's original content, and you're going to come along for the exact same ride that I'm on. We'll figure out what makes the best podcast and how to keep rolling out great guests and great takes and great new ideas. So if you're here, thank you very much. You know I appreciate you. You're going to be in for a hell of a ride. Stick around. Pot it up. Let's get this thing on the open road, and let's see where it takes us. Aaron Rodgers is coming up shortly, and former two-time world champion boxer Paulie Malignaggi will join us to break down Mayweather v. McGregor and talk about his beef with Conor. But before we do that, let me hit you with a quick take that I have from the fight. Look, I didn't go to Vegas for this one, but like a lot of you, I chipped off a C-note to watch it on pay-per-view. And I listened to all the purists and boxing guy talk about what a shit show that was going to be, the ultimate cash grab, and even bigger waste of time. To which I said, great, don't watch it. But pretty much everybody else will. And they did, and what they saw was a much better fight than anybody expected. Was it the best fight ever? No, of course not. But I'll tell you what, it was a hell of a lot better than Mayweather-Pacquiao. Now that was a cash grab. That was a ripoff. That pissed me off. Not this, though. McGregor went nearly 10 rounds with Mayweather. He's got nothing to be ashamed of, and he proved yet again he's tough as hell. And he came out of this fight looking better than he did going into it. Mayweather, meanwhile, is not nearly the fighter he once was, but he actually did something he rarely did in his career. He came forward, he opened up, and he finished the show. So yes, it was definitely worth it for the fighters and for the fans. And when was the last time you could say that about a Mayweather fight? I don't need to see it again, but I'm glad they did it. Nothing ever lives up to the hype, but this one did, and I got my 100 bucks worth. Let me ask you something. How often do you think about your socks? If you're like I used to be, probably not very much. But then I discovered socks that changed the way I'll think about socks forever. They're called Bombas. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. made from premium cotton. Bombas stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And every single pair comes with a built-in blister tab, innovative arch support, and stay-up technology, plus a seamless toe. I'm telling you, what I love is they do not lose integrity and fall down during the day. And every single pair comes with a built-in blister tab, innovative arch support, stay-up technology, and a seamless toe. I love that they do not lose integrity and fall down during the day, and they don't get killed after a run through the dryer. Each wear is like the first, and there are so many colors, patterns, lengths, and styles. Bombas look great in the gym, at the office, and out of town. As an example, we look the part in the office, so I go with the Bombas dress socks Monday through Thursday, and then I'll bust out with the casual Americanos on Fridays. They're all crazy fashionable and super comfortable. Bombas are what feet daydream about. It's like you're not even wearing a sock. And for every Bombas purchase you make, Bombas donates a pair to somebody in need. Keep cool, keep comfortable, and keep contributing with the best socks in the history of feet, Bombas. Buy one pair or four at bombas.com/Rome right now and get 20% off on your first purchase. Once again, that's Bombas, bombas.com/Rome for 20% off. bombas.com/Rome. When I announced that we were going to go with this new podcast, a number of you clones or my listeners said, "Great, what about us, Rome?" And I said, "What about you?" And your response was, "How are you going to involve us?" And I said, "The same way I involve you on the daily radio program. As little as possible. More of me and less of you is good for the show. I've got a family to feed." And the same thing is going to apply to the new podcast. Just kidding. Not really. But yeah, some of you, and you'll say, "You made me." Ask some more of you, and you'll say, "You can actually do it better than I can." And you know what? Maybe you can. So here's your chance to prove it with a voicemail that I set up just for this new podcast. Hit me up whenever and about whatever you want. If you don't have the number, here it is once again. 949-385-0447. Save that in your phone. Lob me a call. Anytime. I mean it. 949-385-0447. As you might imagine, we ended up with several hundred phone calls. And like I always say, give me an A or give me an F. So here is the very best and the worst of episode one. If you can do better, hit me up for episode two.
You have 11 new messages. First new message.
Jim, CEO bro, as usual, got to be the first one in. Hey, good luck on the podcast, bro. Can't wait for it to drop. And have some fun.
Message saved. Next message.
Bohica, baby!
Message deleted. Next message.
Hey, Jim. This is Mike in Buffalo. Just heard the number on the show today. Just wanted to call and ask for some credits for starting the crank counter in 2017.
Message deleted. Next message.
Rome, this is Justin from Melbourne. I want to weigh in on McGregor versus Mayweather, no pun intended.
Message deleted. Next message.
Hi, Jim. It's Bella B. Calgary. Look, there's 40 days until Utah hockey, and I can't wait.
Message saved. Next message.
Hey, Romy, it's Homie. Down at the gate trying to come up to watch the fight. Can you just call down real quick and just have them buzz me up?
Message deleted. Next message.
Romy, what's up, dude? It's FBI Mike here.
Message deleted. Next message.
Fans, Matt, Josh, and Flo. Just calling to recap the fight. Thought it was an amazing fight. Think it's a terrible look for boxing. They just take a guy out of MMA world, throw him against the best boxer in the world, and gives him one hell of a fight. Terrible look for boxing. War MMA.
Message saved. Next message.
Romy, what's up, man? Mike in Little Rock. You probably know me better as the Nooch. I know you're not going to use this. I just kind of wanted to test it out. Oh, yeah. Did I already say happy Saturday? Happy Saturday, man. What time is it? Like 11 o'clock? Something like that. Hope you're having a good day, Van.
Message deleted. Next message.
Hey, yo, pimp in the box, Squirrel Master. Floyd Mayweather isn't the undisputed champ. He's the undisputed crook. Everybody knows Little Mayweather was going to get knocked out. Money Mac, fuck that.
Message deleted. Next message.
Romy, what's up, bud? Anton here, checking in with you early on a Sunday morning. But hey, great idea here with the voicemail line. I don't know what Hawk or Hoff did to get in trouble, but making them filter through these is a great form of punishment, boys. I'd shape up because the next step from here is Jim asking us to send in news to the Jungle Junk line.
Message deleted. You have no more messages.
Great. Pretty much what I expected, if not worse. Hey, Anton, there is not going to be Jungle Junk mail. Hawk and Huff are not going to be looking for your nudes, so do not send them. And homie, I'm really sorry I missed you this weekend for the fight. Actually, I'm not sorry at all. And Mike and Little Rock, Nooch, I know you're trying to captain Team Bake, but take that Laramie Tunsil gas mask bong off before you call next time. There you have it. Round one, the first batch of voicemails. The question is it going to be the last batch? Because after that weekend, it sounds like a lot of you, if not all of you, were completely overserved. I'll try and run this thing back next week. I'll give you one more shot. Once again, write this number down, 949-385-0447. Write it down, use it, lob me a call. Hell, I may even pick up. You never know. Now, I couldn't be more pumped for our very first guest, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron's done the radio show for a number of years, and every single time we talk, it never seems to be enough. Better to leave them wanting a little more, I guess. Except that's no longer an issue here. Not with this format, where I now have the ability to extend an interview and to turn it into a conversation. A really good conversation. And that's exactly what we have here. A conversation about football, but much more. You see, come to find out, my man loves to throw a line in the river, crush some FIFA in the locker room, and obviously tee it up whenever he can, including right alongside Michael Jordan, who he tells us he did not mess with when he did. On top of that, I get his reaction to Mayweather-McGregor and where he comes out on John Bones Jones, plus his thoughts on why he's not wired like Tom Brady and his breakdown of this week's finale of Game of Thrones. Let me ask you something, Aaron, about your offseason. I know you spent a week in Montana fly fishing. We used to have a house there. I've spent a number of summers there. It's one of my favorite places ever. Where did you go in the Big Sky?
Flew into Billings, and that was kind of home base, and then drove to a few different places. We fished the Madison, upper part of that. Then we fished on some private land. There was like 18 miles of creek out there. Fantastic, and some lakes as well. And then we fished the Boulder, I think. The one that they filmed, the river runs through it on. I think it's called the Boulder. And that was probably the best day.
So it sounds like you had a great run. Now, to me, or maybe it's me, Aaron, but fly fishing is a hell of a lot harder than it looks. But then again, it's got to be me, right? It's not that hard. It's not as hard as I'm making it, right?
No, I think it is. It's challenging for sure. It's about that rhythm. You know, once you can get that rhythm down, but the fun part is the challenge of trying to put it in a certain spot. The last day as we're fishing out of the raft, a lot of kind of once the rapids died down, there's a place where it's nice and smooth tempo of the river. You're really trying to throw it in these spots. So we had a great guide. You're trying to put it right in the spot and let it just kind of trickle down to the fish because the fish sit upstream. So they're waiting for that food, that bait, as they're facing upstream. So you just let that fly come on down to them, and talk about exciting. When you get one on, that's pretty intense feeling, especially if you've cast one right in the perfect spot and get just kind of curled down the way that the guide tells you, and then you get one on, that's pretty exciting. I had a really nice one on, over 20 inches, and I lost it right at the boat. So that was the only bummer of the trip. It was a great trip.
I'll tell you what, you're used to putting in tight windows, but I can't believe you and I are talking about the same recreation because I didn't get nearly that close to any of that, but I think that's the ideal. Now, I know you're a huge sports fan. I know you watched Mayweather-McGregor Saturday night. What did you think, and did you get your money's worth out of that pay-per-view?
Well, Jim, we were in the locker room, and the game ended for us, and luckily there was a delay in the fight because I figured by the time our game ended in Denver, the fight would be over. But we actually were able to watch the fight from round four on. So the weird part is the first three rounds, McGregor won on the card, every indication. So didn't see those rounds. 4 through 10 was definitely, Floyd was dominating those rounds, it seemed like. And Connor obviously got a little tired. It was better than I thought it was going to be. And Mayweather, maybe he thought he was worried about a card off, so he kind of picked it up there. It seemed round 7, 8, 9, and 10. That also kind of coincided with Connor tiring. But it was better than some of the other kind of bigger fights that I've bought in the past.
Much better.
I'm still, UFC to me is still like watching the Jones against Cormier fight and the other fights they had that night. To me, there's just usually a clear-cut resolution. Boxing too often kind of goes to the cards, and then anything can happen.
Yeah, and you mentioned John Jones. I mean, this guy and is a pro athlete who plays the game at the highest level. When you look at that guy athletically, what do you think? And then if, in fact, Aaron, that's a positive test that sticks, what do you make of an athlete at the highest level who's coming off suspension and then knowingly still tries to get another edge?
Well, he reminds me of his brother. His brother is tall, athletic, great wingspan, incredibly gifted athletically. I mean, both those guys, for as big as they are so damn athletic. Bones Jones has always been a fun fighter to watch because he's so diverse in his attack. I mean, he's got great hands and elbows, but his kicks are also, as we saw in that fight, pretty powerful. Disappointing thing for him is, the first part of his post-fight interview seemed like there was a lot of perspective as he talked about kind of what he's learned and the people who have been with him on the journey and thanking the people who hated on him for inspiring him. And I thought it was very respectful with Cormier. Then it went into the whole, challenging Brock Lesnar thing. If it's another positive test, it's just disappointing for the sport because, now that'd be him with a couple, I think, and Brock had one after it looked like, after he beat Randy, that maybe he was kind of the next heavyweight star. So it's disappointing if that's true. And also disappointing for Cormier, too, who put so much into that and, came up short a couple times against a guy who, maybe tested positive again.
Cormier is such a good dude. I mean, exactly what he put into that. And to have to go through that whole thing again is pretty mind-blowing. Now, Aaron, you're a Cali native. I'm a Cali native. I'll never forget the first time that I went to Green Bay. It was back in 96. And I stopped by Fuzzy Thurston's bar. Somebody had invited me, Aaron. I slammed a beer with Fuzzy, which was a thrill. I wake up the next morning. I slam another 4 or 5 beers with brats at a 7 a.m. tailgate. I'd never done that in California. Then I go to the game and I crush more beers so as not to freeze my ass off for the next 3 hours. I guess what I'm getting at is I have never been more out of place or so ill-equipped for anything in my life at that point. What do you remember about the very first time you touched foot in Green Bay?
Well, I remember actually before that I was on the flight from New York to Detroit. And it was snowing. It was April 24th, 2005, and it was snowing in Detroit. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's like 85 degrees out in California. Got off the plane. It wasn't snowing in Green Bay, but I remember just driving from the airport, wondering when the buildings and the high-rises, or just, business area was going to show up. Like a downtown business area and then Lambeau. And there's none of that. It was just all flat with some houses, some farms, and then bam, then there's Lambeau, the biggest building in the area. So that was definitely, a surprise for me. But on the flight out, I'll never forget this, I was sitting next to Niall Diggs, and I knew who he was because of playing Madden for so many years, and knew he was on the Packers, and he couldn't have been nicer. As we flew from Detroit to Green Bay, I talked to Ziraf for an hour about what Green Bay was like, what I was going to expect, what the coaches were like, what the players were like, how I was living there. He'd been on the team, I think, for six or seven years at that point. So that was fun for me to be able to meet him, like the first Packer I met, and then get to Green Bay. Obviously, it's a little different in California, but I really enjoyed my time there, obviously.
You mentioned Madden. So let me just hit you with a quick either or. Halo or FIFA, and are any of your teammates beating you at either?
Halo, I don't think so. I really don't. FIFA, yes. FIFA's kind of the game in the locker room now, in training camp, and we have time between meetings and a day or lunch. There's some good two-on-two FIFA games. Mason Crosby and I have been teaming up and doing well. But one-on-one, I would say David Bakhtiari is probably the guy to beat at this point in the locker room.
You know, knowing you a little bit, I'm sure that doesn't sit very well with you. So what are you doing about that? And you probably won't even tell me, but I know if he's getting over and he's beating you, you're not happy about that. So what are you doing about that?
I wish I had some time to practice. I don't play video games the way I used to. I have plenty of other things that take my time up. But, you know, I may have glanced at some buttons on the internet to make sure I was using the right ones and figure out, because he does all these different moves on the ball. He can do step overs and fake shots, fake punt, all this stuff. And, you know, I'm kind of, you know, pass, through ball, you know, X over the top. And then, you know, I love to slide tackle and take the ball away. So he's doing some skilled moves that I had to research a little bit to make sure I wasn't in over my head too much. But, yeah, I'm still not beating him.
Got to. You know, I don't think, Aaron, you get to the NFL without a certain drive or a certain fire, regardless of how talented you are. But I think that yours runs a little bit deeper. In fact, I think it runs much deeper. And it seems to me that it's not just a result of a draft day fall or having to wait as long as you did to become a starter. I mean, that's part of it, I'm sure. But there's more to it than that. You ask any of your teammates, and they will say it never turns off, no matter what you're doing, that you're all about that and you want to win. And you're never going to give in any time for anything. So my question is, and I've asked this of other great athletes, what is that? Where does that come from? Is that hard wiring or is it something else?
I think it's something else. I think just kind of the way that I am wired does help, but it's a strong, deep desire to be great combined with strong competitiveness. And my role models in sport were all the best players in their sport, and some of them best all time. Michael Jordan was my favorite basketball player, best all time. Joe Montana, Steve Young, two of the best all time. So those were the guys I was looking at. I was watching their games. I was studying their press conferences, what they talked about, what was important to them. Their, you know, trying to figure out how they were so clutch. You know, so many great drives, you know, starting in 89 for Joe, the drive, and, you know, Michael with his late second heroics so many times. You know, that was kind of my goals there, was to be mentioned in the same breath of those guys as a kid. That's what I thought about. Man, I would love to be looked at like that. Those guys are the best. And so that was what drove me. And then my story really aided me because I didn't have, you know, a lot of things given to me. I wasn't the biggest, the strongest, the fastest. I worked really hard, and then I made the most of my competitions. When I competed for a spot, I beat and won it. When I competed for a spot at Cal, I eventually won it. And, you know, the feeling of having to prove yourself a lot for me was a major positive, because I just harnessed that focus and kept that desire to be great, you know, close to my mind, and always thought about the decision that I was making and how each one of them affects, you know, future opportunities. And thankfully, it's all worked out pretty good so far.
See, that to me is so key. I mean, you always thought about the decisions that you were making and how that was going to affect you right there in the moment and then going forward. And then you see a guy like Tom Brady, and he seemingly, Aaron, has structured his entire life with that goal in mind, to play well into his 40s. Virtually every single choice and decision this guy makes all day, every day is about the game. In fact, it's not even like a job or a passion. He'd tell you it's essentially his life. He said as much. So do you approach it with that same sort of mentality and regimentation?
I don't. I have a ton of respect for Tom. The schedule he keeps, how he takes care of his body. You know, but people are wired differently. And for me, you know, I have my work life, and then I have my personal life, personal time. And, you know, I haven't eaten as well in years past, been better about my diet with a focus on playing well late into my 30s and early 40s. The decision I make now, time management, definitely is with a focus on playing till, you know, as long as I can. But, you know, I love my TV shows and I love my, my relaxation time. So, you know, I respect the hell out of Tom and what he's done. And I've said it before, you know, I'm kind of seeing how long he wants to play and how long he can make it. And hopefully I can make it the same, to the same age.
Speaking of TV shows, let me hit you with another either or. Game of Thrones or The Princess Bride?
That's tough. I'm going to say Game of Thrones right now, just because it's on, you know, the season finale is so incredible. I've seen The Princess Bride 100 times. I could, you know, quote it probably from start to finish. I love that movie. I've gotten to meet actually a couple people who are in that movie, which is pretty cool. But Game of Thrones to me is so fantastic. A tougher one, really, Jim, would be Game of Thrones or Lost. Those are two of my all-time favorite TV shows, with just such great twists and characters and similar arcs of the show where there's so many different storylines coming together at the same time. You're just invested in so many different parts of the show. And as I saw last night on the season finale, there's just, it's exciting. You know, it's coming down to the end and there was more resolution in a season finale than we had the previous season. So it's going to get you excited. Now we just got to wait a year and a half for final season.
All right. So you were fine with the finale. In fact, better than fine for the finale of Game of Thrones. What about the way Lost ended? How'd you feel about that?
See, I loved it. I've talked to people on both sides who hate it and didn't understand it. I loved it because there was so much that you questioned and that there was in that show less resolution, I think, than maybe you would have wanted, and things that still didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And that's kind of how the finale was. It explained some things, it tied up some loose ends, but there's still your own kind of interpretation. And I think is how the show had to end. In my opinion, I'm not this crazy, crazy Lost fan, but I do love the show, and I've you know, watched it religiously. And I love the finale. I just think it was the perfect way to end the show. So hopefully Game of Thrones is the same.
Yeah, Aaron, you've been unbelievable with your time. Let me hit you with a couple of quick things before you go. And on a very serious note, I know you saw that recent report where 111 brains of NFL players were studied and 110 were found to have CTE. I mean, it's obviously a small sampling, but it's still a pretty alarming number. What was your reaction when you saw that report?
Yeah, that was, you know, not really surprising, I don't think. It's an interesting issue. I think it's something that all of us football players, you have to think about. And it's on your mind how you're going to be able to function at 40, at 50, hopefully at 60, at 70. How's your cognitive brain function going to be? How's your motor skills? How are those going to be? Because, you know, we play an impact sport. And fortunately for me, it's a position where there's not as many head collisions, but it's definitely something that's on all of our minds. And I'm interested to see where science goes now in really explaining to us the ramifications of it and also how we can start to prevent some of the issues and really CTE kind of coming on. You know, science is really an interesting place right now with performance, diet, how that affects your performance, natural supplements that help you and your body. Obviously, the vitamin world is interesting. But what is science going to do now for your brain? Is there going to be natural substances that occur in nature that we can take, which is going to help our brain function? Hopefully that happens quickly. But from a player's standpoint, I think we need to continue to help out our former players as we look to this next CBA, continue to find ways to take care of those guys because they laid the groundwork for us, and a lot of them are dealing with some serious issues.
You know, as an example, Aaron, a guy that I know that you know, and I see him every single year at Super Bowl, one of my favorite guys ever, Jerry Kramer. And, you know, physically, I know he's in a tough way, in a bad way, and still not in the Hall of Fame. Where do you come out on that? Is he a Hall of Famer in your mind?
I think he is. I think he definitely is. He's kind of the last part of that Lombardi that Lombardi group who deserve to be in. There's a lot of great players that played under Coach Lombardi. It'd be great to see him get in. I think I saw on Twitter that he's in the finalist pool, which is great. But love to put him in. I've got to meet him a few times. He's a fantastic guy, and he deserves it. And Packer fans would be ecstatic.
Aaron, you mentioned some of your mentors and a guy that you admired, Michael Jordan. I know you love golf. I know you've played golf with Michael Jordan. What's a round of golf like with MJ?
It's a blast. It's an absolute blast. I didn't bet with him, which was good for me because I think he's beat me. We've played probably five times, and I think I only got him once. He might dispute that. Maybe I never got him. I feel like in my mind I'm gonna stick to that. I beat him one time. But he is he was so accommodating and just really fun to be around. I had, you know, a bunch of questions. Didn't want to fan out too much on him, but, you know, he was great talking to me about, you know, some of the stories from when he was with the Bulls and ideas about, you know, team structure and leadership and stuff. He was just, you know, really fun to be around. And he loves to talk it up a little bit, even though we weren't betting. You know, there was definitely some trash talk. I didn't feel comfortable maybe trash talking him. He felt real comfortable trash talking everybody else in the group.
Aaron, why? Aaron, I know you can hold your own. I know you got nothing to worry about.
He's got a great short game. And it was fun.
I was going to say, sorry to jump in there, but I know you can hold your own. I know you can talk smack with anybody if you choose to. Why not run your best at his best?
Well, the one round I was playing pretty good was, I think, the second round we ever played together. So I didn't feel comfortable enough to say anything. Plus, I feel like, you know, he's got that next level mentality. And I don't know. I felt like for me at that time, my golf game was so inconsistent. At some point, I was going to fall apart. You know, if I got him again, I might, be a little more forthcoming with trash talk if I get it going.
Gotcha. Last thing. Now, whatever became of those college rejection letters that you held on to, when was the last time you actually looked through them?
I moved a couple of years ago, and I found them again, and I put them, I think I put them in storage. So that was the last time I looked at them a couple of years ago. Those are fun. I mean, those give me the perspective, you know, that, you know, I went through a lot. It was a great journey to get to where I was. And just a reminder to never be complacent because the next guy is always out there working. In our business, young man's game, you know, they're always trying to, if they can replace you with a younger guy who can do it for less, they're going to try. So it's just a good reminder when I see that stuff. But also, you know, funny, I talked to like Ron Zook, who's on our staff now, who is the coach after Ron Turner at Illinois. And Illinois, I went to their team camp. They offered another kid in the group, which is fine. He was a good player. Ended up starting against him in my first game at Division One, beat him. And so Ron and I have some laughs from time to time about what would have been. But, you know, it's a butterfly effect. Things happen the way they happen, and your life can go on a different trajectory with just one, you know, one event, one action, one decision. So I'm happy with the way things turned out. I love my time at junior college and obviously at Cal, and it's been a fun run, man. 13 years now in the league.
It's incredible. Aaron, what about that guy from Purdue? There was an assistant at Purdue that apparently sent you a note that said, quote, good luck with your attempt at college football. I mean, did you open that up and say, are you fucking kidding me with this? Or am I misreading this, Aaron? And was he actually being sincere and trying to be nice?
I mean, I think he probably should have reread that after he typed it because it doesn't, to me, it doesn't really come off in that paragraph as a sincere good luck. Because in that paragraph, it was like, you don't rank in comparison to the other 25 recruits of your position. You don't compare in comparison with the needs that we have on our roster. You don't compare in comparison with the, you know, you don't belong in the comparison with, you know, the quarterbacks we got on staff on the team right now. You know, you know, we don't have a spot for you. This came kind of after those three, and I'm paraphrasing that, but it's basically what it said. It came kind of at the end of that paragraph. So to me, it was like, hey, a nice way of saying, you're not going to make it in football. Maybe you should try something else. So
good. That's how I
that one is right up there with my food appreciation teacher who didn't write me a note, but she told me face-to-face I'd never make it in the NFL. So those two people, you know, again, that's why I tell people, don't listen to naysayers and negative folks who want to bring you down, because at some point you're going to have that I told you so right back to them, the satisfaction of proving them wrong.
And it feels good. So I got to ask you, now, are you rolling tape on me like I'm rolling tape on you? Are you taping this?
I'm not taping this. I'm not worried about you, Jim.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Aaron Rodgers. Now, you know what's not enjoyable? Turning the house upside down, looking for a stamp when you need to mail something. These days, you can get practically everything on demand, such as our podcast. Listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. So, why are you still going to the post office and dealing with their limited hours when you can get postage on demand with Stamps.com? I mean, anything that you can do at the post office, you can now do right from your desk with Stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. So you can get your postage whenever you need it, 24/7. Let me give you a true story. The other day, I had to be in three places at one time, but I had a document that absolutely had to go that minute. Had to go. No way did I have time to go to the post office, and I didn't, thanks to Stamps.com. In fact, I never go to the post office anymore, and neither should you. Stamps.com is a lifesaver. Printing postage from my desk is one of my favorite things ever. Right now, use my name, Rome, for this special offer. You get a four-week trial. It includes postage and a digital scale. Do not wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in Rome. Stamps.com. Enter Rome. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office ever again. I've been doing this for a long time, and I can say that few events captivated like the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight. And for as amazing as those two characters were, Pauly Malignaggi was not too far behind. The two-time world champ wasn't just Showtime's fight analyst Saturday night. He was Conor McGregor's sparring partner. And after the McGregor camp released edited footage of Pauly getting knocked down during a sparring session, Pauly v. Conor became nearly as compelling as Floyd v. Conor. And 2 days later, my man was still running hot, and he had plenty to say about the fight, McGregor the man, if he'd want a shot at the UFC champ next, and whether he's willing to put his money where his mouth is. So, Pauly, it's been a few days since the fight. I know that you and Conor had some beef. You said in an interview yesterday that McGregor, quote, proved my point, push him to the limit, and McGregor bitches out, end of quote.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
Well, he folds. He has a lot of fold in him. You know, in boxing, we call those guys punks. You know, guys like that, we call them punks. You know, they're front runners. When things are going their way and they have the advantage, they're loud, they're boisterous. You know, they're looking good and whatever. But as soon as things stop going their way and they have to deal with a little bit of discomfort, they look for the first exit out of the fight. You know, he did it in the first Nate Diaz fight. You know, he had his way in the first round. He thought he was cool. He was landing all those shots. Nate stuck it out because Nate is a true fighter. He stuck it out. He stuck out through the hard times. In the second round, he started turning things around. Now it was Conor's turn to try to turn things back around. And instead, he decided he didn't want to be a part of the fight. He decided to try to shoot in and take down the black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which obviously is another way to quit, because once you go to the ground with that black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if you're not a ground fighter, you will be submitted. So he looks for his way out of the fight. It's a common denominator. It's something that I noticed also in our sparring sessions. It's just I wasn't in good enough shape to totally take advantage of it. But I noticed once things stopped going his way, the folding patterns start to show themselves. He doesn't throw punches. He kind of goes into his own little shell, you know, and so on and so forth.
All right, so let me ask you this. I mean, these are really strong words, like he's a punk, he quit, he folds. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel like he quit against Mayweather, like Roberto Duran, no mas, I quit, that kind of quit?
No, Roberto Duran's no mas was more for frustration because he couldn't touch Ray Leonard. And so that was – Roberto was a real macho guy. So he used you know, he couldn't get to him, and he got kind of tired of it, and he quit because, you know, he got sick of chasing Leonard around. This particular situation, it wasn't a sort of embarrassment thing. Duran quit more from the embarrassment. The lack of – it wasn't a lack of machismo on a part of Conor. It was more so – he didn't want to fight anymore. He doesn't like to deal with pain. He doesn't like to deal with discomfort and whatnot. Once he's tired, it's only going to get worse and worse. Because once you're tired, you can have a hard time defending yourself. You have a hard time sustaining any kind of offense. So it's going to be a little bit difficult. It's really where your mind comes into play. Because we all get tired in the late part of the fight, but we're all conditioned to deal with it, you know. But it's all in how our mind deals with it. And Conor never really deals with fatigue very well. It's not an excuse. I'm sorry. At this level, we all get tired at a certain point. The fights are very high intensity, so we all get tired.
I mean, just to be fair, you're a former two-time world champ. I'm a dude with a radio show and a podcast, but I got to ask the question. I know he was tired. I know he wasn't fighting back, but do you really think he quit?
There's a way you can quit, Jim. Yeah, nobody's going to say, I quit outright. If he wanted to fight, like he said after the fight, he said, I wanted to go out on my back. Well, buddy, you can't be assaulted without throwing a single punch back and expect the referee to let you continue. So you know in your mind, when you're in a situation like that, that you have to show some kind of life if you want to continue fighting. But if you don't show any kind of life, you know, in the back of your mind, you also know the referee will stop the fight, you know? So think about it, put it together. I'll give you an example. During my boxing career, especially early on, I had to finish a lot of fights with one hand. I kept breaking my hand. If I, every time I broke my hand or hurt my hand, started shaking my right hand around in the middle of the ring, started showing my opponent my hand's hurt, my hand's broken, you know, wouldn't it be a way of quitting? Like, because then now I'm showing the world, like, I have an excuse to quit. Instead, I have to keep my poker face and try to finish the fight one-handed and by giving the illusion that I can use two hands even though I can't, and therefore keep you under control. We all get tired. We all get fatigued. But why do you show the fatigue? Why do you make like you're dead? I mean, Conor himself said after the fight he was never hurt. So if you're never hurt and all you are is tired, then why are you showing it? Why are you making it look like you can't? I mean, he looked like a dead camel in the desert, like who hadn't drank water in months.
Is any of what you're saying about him right now your way to try to get him to fight you? Is that what the plan is?
No, I mean, listen, he's going to fight me or he's not going to fight me. I'm going to tell you the truth regardless. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's people can look at it as an opinion, but fighters know. Fighters know when a guy is a punk. You know what I mean? Like, there's ways you punk out of a fight. If you aren't hurt, then why? How are you not fighting anymore if you aren't hurt? A fighter has to dig down. Being a fighter is not round one when you're feeling good and the crowd is going crazy. Being a fighter is mid-rounds, uncomfortable, tired, hurting. What are you going to do?
You think he's a punk. You think he quit. You don't really hold the guy in a really high regard, Paul. You don't respect him. Why do you want to fight this guy?
I don't like him. I don't like him. I would fight him when it takes all. The other thing is after a payday. I live well. I'm not looking for the payday per se. I mean, we can do fight when it takes all. I don't like this guy. I think he's a punk, but I also think he's got washwoman gossip-like qualities. Like he makes stories up. He's not a real man as far as keeping a man's word. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just nothing to respect about the guy at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's become popular. He's done a nice job becoming popular. But if you actually know him, I mean, he's a dirtbag in every way.
Hey, Paul, is there any more to it than him editing that tape and releasing that tape? I mean, I know where he came out on that. Is that what this is all about entirely?
Yeah,
or is there more to it that
we
don't know
about? A lot of it is about that. I'll tell you why. Because you don't do that to the degree that you lie about it. You see, I'm a pretty real guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from New York. I'm original New York. I'm a pretty real guy. Like, if there's something that I have to admit, even if it's not good for me, I'll admit it. You know what I'm saying? But when it's made up and you're trying to portray an illusion that's not true, and it's maybe it makes me look bad, that's going to drive me crazy, of course. You know what I mean? I know this guy's a punk. I saw it with my own eyes. Then he tried to turn around this morning and make like he had the better of it. Listen, couldn't he have done the same editing job on fight night, Saturday night? Think about it. He did a 15-second edited video of taking little clips. You could take little clips of the first three rounds of McGregor and Mayweather Saturday night, and if nobody saw the fight, you could make it look like McGregor beat him up, beat the shit out of him. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you think that he would edit a tape to make you look bad on purpose?
I think he had a beef with me from the start. You know, I didn't realize it. You know, I had talked bad about him when he first came to boxing. I was looking for the fight. At that time, I was just looking for the fight, you know. But, of course, I've talked bad about fighters before looking for fights. And fighters have even talked bad about me looking for fights when I was at the top of my game. And if the fight didn't happen, like, nobody takes it personal, you know. Like I said, this guy's, like, washwoman-like qualities, you know, where he takes things personal. You know, he gets this little agenda. It's like, I don't know. To me, those are woman qualities. Those aren't guy qualities, you know. Men act a certain way, women act a certain way. You know, there's different genders here. You know, like, I don't know. Like, the whole washwoman gossip type stuff, I keeping a grudge over something so small, and then bringing me into camp to set things up.
If he was as upset as you say he was on what you said before, how do you think he's going to feel when he hears that you called him a punk and a washwoman gossip?
He knows what he is. You know, deep down, he knows what he is. Because I was calling him the same things when we were sparring. I was calling him a bitch. I was calling him a bitch. I was calling him a pussy. You know, I was saying all those things while we were sparring because I could see he folds. You know what I'm saying? And even that day, the only thing that saved him was the fact that I was in a 12-round shape. So 11 and 12, I fatigued out, you know? But I'm not Conor McGregor. I didn't look for a way out in 11 and 12 just because I was tired. I said, you know what? I got to give this guy 12 rounds of work. That's what they wanted today. And I'm going to finish 12 rounds of work because that's what they wanted. You know? I wasn't happy about it, but I said, you know what? I don't punk out. If I got to do 12 rounds, then I'm going to do 12 rounds.
Look, in my mind, Conor came out of that fight looking better than he did going into it. But in Paulie's mind, he came out looking much, much worse, with Paulie hating on him even more. He wasn't calling him a, quote, punk, bitch, and pussy. At least not publicly before that fight, but he just did right here. And clearly he's trying to get Conor to fight him. And if I were Paulie, I would do the same thing. He doesn't like him, and he has to be thinking it's easy money. The problem is, even in defeat, Conor's got the hammer. Conor's calling the shots. And it probably doesn't make as much sense to Conor to fight Paulie as it does for Paulie to fight Conor, no matter how many times he calls him a bitch. If you made it this far, I want to tell you thank you very much. I appreciate you. And thanks for giving the brand new podcast a listen. I appreciate it so much. And if you're able to take a few more moments and leave a review, that would be awesome. Don't forget to subscribe, because as soon as you do, you will not have to hunt this thing down. It will find you automatically. And trust me, you want to make sure you have it dialed in next week when Bob Costas stops by for episode 2. So I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, tell a friend who you think might like it as well. And don't forget about our daily radio program, which airs live on CBS Sports Radio and JimRome.com Monday through Friday, 12 to 3 Eastern. Once again, I love doing this first episode. I am pumped for the next one. Thanks again for listening, subscribing, and reviewing. See you next time. I'm out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.